Hey guys, this is AJ with Ebbs and Flows podcast. This is going to be episode 2, and I just wanted to share a little bit of a post that I made with some commentary, of course, from the writing itself that I made on my website, adventureswithaj412.com. This post is entitled Initial Grief, 6 Months of Lessons. It has officially been 6 months since my dad left us for a higher calling. We have been told in our journey, sometimes God needs angels both on earth and in heaven, and my dad became one of heaven's angels. In the last 6 months, grief has taught us a few lessons that we needed to learn. I wanted to share those here. Make connections with others. Hold your friends close and your loved ones closer. Live life to the fullest. Never regret anything left undone. What is meant to be will be, and God is present. In making connections with others, I just wanted to say real quickly that we had a lot of people with us all the time when he was in the hospital, and they were coworkers, they were golf friends, they were people close to him, people that we didn't even know who showed up for him. And in those moments, it was really difficult to see them, who I've always known as being rough on the outside, probably rough on the inside too, broken to their cores, losing someone they loved without really saying a proper goodbye. The way my dad got to the hospital was he was on his way to work. He had fallen outside of his building, went into cardiac arrest caused by pulmonary embolism, and was rushed to the hospital. So none of us really had the opportunity to really say a proper goodbye. My mom that morning was expecting to have him home to go for take the dog for a walk, but that didn't happen either. So again, it just became really, I guess unsettling would be the word to put it, and shocking to not have a proper goodbye for somebody that we really loved. And so him at the hospital was difficult for me and for a lot of us, because he's in a hospital bed, he's not moving, he's not speaking, he's connected to all these machines. And being in a hospital setting already, I know what those machines read, I know what the stuff is. So it's like we're just constantly waiting for them in the hospital to tell us any bit of news, good or bad, of what's going on. And for that period of time still, we didn't have any proper goodbyes said. I mean, it's not known if people who are sedated like that can hear you, but I believe they can. I mean, I felt my dad squeeze my hand the one night as I was talking to him about baseball, but he wasn't talking back. And of course, I haven't heard my dad's voice since, I would say, probably the Monday before he went to the hospital. I was at the house that night, and I was with them, and I didn't even realize that 2 days later, and I mean, how could I? I couldn't read the future. I couldn't see the future, for that matter. How could I know that 2 days later he would be nearly gone? And so learning this lesson, you know, about this grief that I had shared was that, you know, we got to continue to make connections with others. It was difficult for me, I think, and also odd for me to be like, you know, calling a coworker of his who I've never talked to before and then just never talking to him again. At the viewing, we were so overwhelmed with the amount of people who showed up to support him. He mentored young business professionals we had no idea existed, families he worked for and impacted, bosses who loved his drive for their successors, and countless golf friends. A group from a former job shared with me that when the office was thrown into disarray from a lawsuit and scandal, he organized a coalition of his colleagues and helped them resume build and find jobs in their respective fields. To keep these people in our lives, we had to try to connect with them. Every so often, I'll find myself getting drinks with a coworker of his. This coworker shared with me that he never packs a lunch, and my dad and him would always go out and get lunch together. He shared that he walks alone to and from lunch, reminiscing about old times. For nearly 2 decades, my dad made it a point to get lunch with a colleague at an old firm daily. He continued that trend on Wednesdays when he would be in town. My dad was planning on having lunch with that coworker the day he was rushed to the hospital. I had to make that phone call to his longtime lunch buddy that my dad was rushed to the hospital and would be missing that lunch for possibly an indefinite amount of time, if not forever. And I just wanted to throw out here as well, that friend, that lunch buddy, I mean, all these people that were so close to us in this time of uncertainty were all pulling together for us every moment. That friend texted us and asked us if we needed any help letting the dog out, if we needed any help at home, did we need anything, did we need visitors to, you know, give us a distraction from being at the hospital, you know, what did we need? And for me, it's always going to be going forward about keeping these connections with these people. My second point in this was hold your friends close and your loved ones closer. For me, this is pretty straightforward. Always keep the closest people in your life near and dear to you because you will never know when they will leave you. And all of this was a lesson I learned early on. It was 6 weeks to the day and nearly the same time of day that my dad's best friend for more than 50 years also passed away. I've written a few times about how impactful my relationship with his friend Tom had been during the time my dad was in the hospital, and I always felt comfortable. If I had to reach out to anyone, I could call Tom at any time of the day and he would be there for me. I often joked as well that I could call my cousin, my mom's nephew Jim, but he would probably just tell me to suck it up and then he would hang up on me. I realized, Jimbo, as I reflect on this post, that would never happen. You would never do that to me, and that was more so a sarcastic joke, more so than anything. But I could totally also see him saying that. I never want to worry others. Holding our friends close, I still have some amount of guard up. Not that I don't trust them, but because I don't wish to worry anybody. I've long suffered from depression, anxiety, and recently ADHD. After a long time, I finally decided to go the medication route, which has helped tremendously. Thankfully, I was on the medication when my dad passed. It has allowed me to get up every day and be productive. I still feel sad. I still feel the need to feel more comfortable about reaching out to friends and family when I need them. But in conversations with other friends of my dad and people he had close to him, they have stepped up to say, hey, if you need anything, never hesitate, just give us a call. And to me, that is very important for me to hear. I'm always hesitant because I don't want to expose much of the stuff that I'm going through. And I know that's, I think, maybe a little selfish to say, but also I never want to cause anybody worry. I'm always the strong person. When we were at the hospital, Tom was worried about me because he said, you never broke down. You were strong for all of us, and you need to realize that it's okay to break down and show your emotions. And there wasn't a point until one particular friend came to the hospital that I did kind of break down, because when that friend came to the hospital, I knew if he's here, this stuff is real. You know, all these emotions that I'm feeling are 100%. And even back when Tom died, like when I saw that same friend again, the same emotions that I had with my own dad, I felt for Tom 100% of the time. And it was just the same feeling, that same feeling of sadness, sorrow, depression, you know, and also the anxiety of who the heck is next? That's cruel to say, but like, who is next in all of this? I have made really good connections with a good friend of my dad's. His name is Mike. He's also a really good friend of Tom's, and I have made a really strong connection with him. I love just getting to know him and being around him. It's been really helpful for me. In the holding our loved ones closer than our friends, we sometimes need to be a family member. One of the relationships that has become stronger for me has been my relationship with my dad's nephew, Carl. He and his family used to live in Ohio, and we would stay there when my dad and I would go to Ohio State football games. Recently, he moved from Ohio to Morgantown, West Virginia. And in recently, I mean like, I don't know, the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, we always said that we were going to go down and see him and spend time with him, but we just never got to it. And when we were in the hospital, Carl had been like, he had told me, you know, this is not what I meant when I said we needed to spend more time together. So I wanted to also share that we never know when that person's going to leave us in our life. And we never know when a family member is going to leave us, and or a friend or anybody. And we are such a culture of never saying I love you to end a conversation. And I just got off the phone with my Aunt Susan, and she expressed to me how in the 90s, when she was a teacher, so many kids had asked to call somebody on her school phone, and they would always end the conversation with, I love you. And we've gotten away from that as a culture. I mean, when I talk to my mom, we have always kind of ended phone calls with I love you. I end the phone calls with my Aunt Susan with I love you. But we don't do that enough. And we really need to do that more, because we don't know what conversation we're going to have for somebody is going to be the last conversation we have. So also from this post, essentially I got onto the point about Carl moving to Morgantown, him and I becoming closer and whatnot. And one of the things that I think has been interesting in all of this is some relationships become more substantial, like my relationship with Carl, my cousin Blake, and my cousin Jimbo, and their relationship with Carl and that side of the family. And some relationships have remained distant. Families are complex. On both sides of the family tree are relatives we do not associate with, either because they don't associate or make time for us, or because we become distant too. My dad always at least put in the effort, despite not having that same effort returned most of the time. He reached out to family living across the country when the pandemic arrived because he knew they were in for a rough ride. He never heard anything back. He was the backbone of a family reunion. If it weren't for him and his planning, the family likely wouldn't have been able to remain close. He was patient with those who had previously burned bridges with him and the family. He knew it wasn't them as much as distance and time lost. It occurs to me while I wrote this that I had to make the same effort that my dad did. When he was in the hospital, I didn't want a particular family member at the hospital to be with him because I knew this family member did not have the emotions present to handle a catastrophic loss. They missed crucial points in his life and the life of us, and in my eyes, I didn't think they deserved to be with us in those moments. When this all started, my dad was in Vegas golfing and gambling, like he normally did when he went to Vegas, and they were surprised to hear that he gambled. At the hospital, they tried to engage in small talk with me about the dog. In 30 years of my life with no communication, I thought this was all they had to show for it, small talk. It was at that moment that I got up and said I had to use the restroom, and a couple minutes later, my cousin Jimbo's wife, Karen, found me sitting by myself in a large group meeting area. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I told so-and-so that I was in the bathroom." But the effort that I have to make to be like my dad is to reach out to these distant relatives and at least attempt to have a relationship with them. At the time, right after my dad passed, it was shared with me that cousins who I hardly knew anything about suddenly wanted my address, but didn't want to ask me for it. I figured it was because they were intimidated to contact me when they have never been in my life. After having my closest aunt in my family provide them with my number, I waited a few days and finally attempted to reach out. My questions about their absences were answered. Their shared absences in my life were something I always wondered about. Through their struggles with personal trauma and how they just picked up and moved across the country to the other side, they just didn't have the time needed to form relationships. So, in all of this, I realized that I have to make this continued effort like my dad did. Keep your friends closer and your loved ones closer. We never know when we will lose them. Living life to the fullest, never regret anything left undone. My dad, if he wanted to see a concert, he went to see it. If he wanted to golf somewhere, he went and golfed there. If he wanted to see somebody talk, he went and did it. He made time to do the things that he wanted to do. When Clemente was nearing his 3,000th hit, my dad went to Three River Stadium every day to see that hit. Little did my dad know it was the last hit of his career. The countless things we have done in the sporting world go unmatched. We made it to every single baseball stadium to see a baseball game. We had a Hall of Fame experience despite never attending the Baseball Hall of Fame. We saw Albert Pujols, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Derek Jeter, Jimmy Rollins, Mariano Rivera, Roy Halladay, and Miguel Cabrera. These are just some of the players we saw going to games. We were at games where Pujols and Bonds hit respective homers in the 700-plus category. In Tampa Bay, we saw the Rays play the Tigers. The first pitch Miguel Cabrera saw was a homer. I believe he won the Triple Crown that season. My dad and I went to the 2013 NLDS game involving the Pirates and the Cardinals in a blacked-out PNC Park. My parents went to see Lady Gaga in Las Vegas and spent more time on the plane to and from than they spent in Las Vegas. They went solely to see Lady Gaga. My dad would never have been able to do everything he did if he lived with regrets. Trying to follow in his footsteps, I had missed the mark when Tom passed. I regret not reaching out to him to check on him more, but I also talked to him literally every single day. And as Mike had pointed out to me, if he wanted to tell you how he was doing, he would have. You talked to him daily. I can't live with regrets. That's what it comes down to. What is meant to be will be in God's present. In the last 2 weeks, I mentioned in the first podcast that I lost my job recently. And every time I talk to somebody about it, number one, they're shocked. Number two, they're frustrated. And number three, they say, you know what? It wasn't meant to be. And that just goes back to the fact that we follow the yellow brick road every day of our lives. If it's not in the plans, it's not going to be. And that's just how we have to live. We aren't sure what is going to happen to us. We are not sure what is going on with our lives. And we never really think about it. My aunt and I just talked on the phone, and she shared with me a poem that she had come across in her readings. It's by Rumi. The poem is much longer, but this is kind of what she said about it. All day I think about it, then at night I say it. Where did I come from, and what am I supposed to be doing? I have no idea. I feel that way. I 100% feel that way. With the post in general, with life, with death, what are we meant to be doing? I don't really know what we're meant to be doing. I don't know if, first of all, I don't know how I got here. Number two, I don't know that this is my home. Number three, if it's not my home, where's my home? And number four, again, what are we doing? I think that we struggle as a culture. I think when grief comes up, we struggle with it. We don't know what to do when we lose somebody. We don't know what to do when a friendship ends. We don't know what to do when we lose a job or a career path. We don't know what to do. We are conditioned to apply for new jobs, to make new friends, to love people more. But when you lose somebody close to you, when you lose a job, when you lose a friend, when you lose whatever you've lost, it hurts. And sometimes picking up and just going back to what we are conditioned to do is not enough. It's not enough. We are not conditioned. We are not people that can continue to run on this hamster wheel, so to speak, to continue doing the things that we have lost. Father's Day is coming up, and for me, it's going to be the first Father's Day without my father. It's going to be difficult, that's for sure. We had always spent Father's Day at the house. He would watch golf on TV. I would get him pizza for dinner, and then I would get him an ice cream cake from Dairy Queen, one of his favorite desserts. This year for Father's Day, I'll be away in the morning, returning home in the evening, but he won't be here. He's here spiritually and emotionally, but he's not here physically. So for me, it's going to be difficult. I recently wrote another post that I just published about Father's Day and the people in my life that have stepped up to be mentors for me. As my cousin Jimbo pointed out once while skiing in Colorado, you only ever get one father, but you can have a lot of mentors. And through this process, I've had about 6 mentors. I've had a guy that I met on the hikes, Dan, who has been really a great figure in my life. Anytime that he's near, I can talk to him about anything. His wife, Diane, who is a tremendous person, and their dog, Zima, who is also very, very, the dog is cute. And so then I have 2 of my dad's friends who never had kids of their own, Mike, who I mentioned already, and Mark, 2 guys that never had kids, but they have been fathers. They have been showing their fatherly touches during this process for me, that's for sure. I talked to my Aunt Susan on the phone and said that there's been a relationship with a guy since my dad has passed who which has been most impactful for me, I think. And it's just been the relationship with Mike. He's been somebody that I never really talked to that much when I was younger. I never really associated with, but ever since Tom passed, after my dad passed, he's been somebody I can talk to. I almost talk to him daily. And I never want to be too much for him because I know I have a history of being too much for people, but he's been so kind and so loving and just so really impactful for me in this process. Another one of the people that have been really close to us has been one of my dad's good friends, Jim Wohl. Jim, if you're listening, I really thank you a lot for everything you've done for me these past 6 months. I know that when my dad was in the hospital, you spent a lot of time at his bedside by yourself, and I don't know how difficult that was for you, but I know that my dad appreciated it. I know that I appreciated it. It was time that you spent doing that to, you know, give my mom and I a rest from the times that we were spending there. Grief is hard. The moral of the story is this, is that grief is hard. I will never have another father. I'm just now coming to the realization of that. I thought that before, but I've never said it, and it hurts to say. I have tears in my eyes as I say it and think about it and really hear what that means. I never thought that my dad would have died when he was 64. Never in my life. His dad lived until he was 90. His mom lived until she was 92. I always thought I'm stuck with my dad for a long time, but I go back to his hospitalization, the finding of the tumor to begin with. You know, what the quality of life would have looked like for him if he lives. You know, if he has the cardiac arrest and he lives, what does his quality of life look like? What does, if he has brain function, what does that recovery look like? When we made that decision to cut off the life support from him, somebody asked us if we thought we made the right decision. And as much as it hurts me to say, yes, we made the right decision, we made the right decision. He wasn't in pain. He passed within 2 hours of us taking him off life support. And we were there with him. Like, he has always been there with us. Another guy that's been just really great has been my cousin Jimbo. I wrote recently about how he sacrificed so much for us. He's a veteran, a very decorated veteran, although he never shows it, he never says it, he doesn't like to say it, but all those times that he sacrificed his safety for us to protect our freedoms and to, you know, make sure that we were safe. You know, he continues to sacrifice his time to make sure that my mom and I are okay. I will always go back to the story after my dad passed, the day after, that he drove 45 minutes from his house in Canonsburg, PA, to our house in Elizabeth Township, PA, with a little pint of 2% milk for my Uncle Donnie's coffee. And when he came in, he just said, I just needed to know that you guys are okay. I wanted to check in with you guys. And it was after 7 days of spending every day with us. And I always thanked him and Karen for being with us. And they would always say, it's not a problem, we wouldn't be anywhere else. We don't want to be anywhere else. But it was, again, their sacrifices of putting off their work and doing the things that they could have been doing. But they were with us. And I will always thank him for that. Recording this podcast, as I was telling my Aunt Susan, is more about being impactful, being meaningful, showing true emotion, and more about interviewing others to talk about grief. It's something that I never thought I'd be doing, as I pride myself on being a writer. I don't pride myself on my voice. but I'm able to show my actual emotions here. And that's something that in writing, I can't really show my true emotions. I can't show what I'm really feeling. And right now, I mean, recording this at the moment is just so difficult for me because I'm getting these thoughts out there. I'm getting these things that I'm thinking out there. It is difficult. It is easier to write them down than it is to speak them out. But I wanted to thank all of those who have listened so far and have heard the things that I've talked about and the different things that I've discussed. It's been truly meaningful for me to get the feedback and to hear that people are enjoying this. I'm looking forward to recording some more episodes, getting some more stuff out there. I want to upload weekly is the plan. And also want to start to get some guests on the show so we can talk about grief. We can have meaningful discussions about grief. Anyways, thanks for listening. This is AJ from Ebbs and Flows. Thank you.